Happy to be joined now by James Sharman of Sportsnet. It's been a while, James. Good to hear from you.
You too, pal. How you doing?
Doing all right. I threw it out on Twitter, and I might be catching you off guard. Actually, I'm probably, I'm like 90% sure that you're not going to have an answer to this. But okay, let's go back to Friday. Manchester United on the road against Cambridge United. I capacity was like about 8,000, but they only had 4,000 seats at that stadium. So 4,000 people were standing. Is there a hockey equivalent to Manchester United versus Cambridge United? Is it like the Chicago Blackhawks? Is an AHL team, is that an apt comparison, or do you have to go lower than that, like an East Coast Hockey League team?
Yeah, I'd say even lower. I mean, Cambridge was the lowest-ranked team left in the tournament. And, you know, there's a big drop-off in the leagues in England from the Premier League down to the League Championship, and from there to League One and League Two, it's even further. Plus, you're mentioning United, you know, one of the top teams, you know, in world football, despite their struggles the last 2 years. So I would say, you know, I mean, they are professionals at Cambridge.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd say maybe, you know, East Coast League, perhaps East Coast League against an NHL team.
Do they have to have second jobs, or is soccer their number one profession, the guys that play for Cambridge?
I think these guys are probably full professionals. But, you know, I mean, what their payroll is and what those guys cost compared to United. I mean, United's starting 11 was, I think, £180 million. And I think Cambridge may have been £0, possibly. I think I saw that stat somewhere.
Yeah.
They're all signed on freeze. So that speaks for itself. You know, it shows the FA Cup, right? It's a great tournament. And we've seen all these weird results this weekend with these big teams really complacent, taking, you know, games, you know, as guaranteed wins, no problem, or we'll walk through these ones and being shocked. And it's great for the game. I think it's great for the tournament, you know, all these fairy tale runs. And, you know, just shows that this tournament, for me, as far as knockout sports is concerned, is the best cup tournament in the world in any sport.
Yeah, and watch, I'm sure United will pound them like 12-0 at Old Trafford in
probably
the replay.
Yeah.
But they played players in that game, too. Like Falcao started.
Oh, yeah.
RVP came off the bench, played in that game. De Gea was in goal. I mean,
yep. It's a real statement on United this year and their struggles. Falcao is a prime example. This guy arrived coming off a serious injury. He's been loaned to Manchester United from his club.
Yeah.
Loaned. And
yeah,
the loan deal was about $30 million just to borrow him for a year. He's on about £200,000, about $300,000 a week salary. If they want to buy him, end of the season, is going to cost them a further $60 million.
Wow.
Now, this guy has done nothing to justify any of those numbers this season. He's been poor, hasn't been interested, and he's been given a chance to start a game against Cambridge United, and you put in that performance. I mean, you've seen these guys' stocks just plummet right now.
What is it about this tournament that you see minnows, at least, well, I mean, that's holding a team to a scoreless draw, but we saw Bradford City and Middlesbrough with huge wins yesterday against Chelsea and Manchester City. What is it about this tournament that stuff? I mean, that's pretty, it's shocking, but it does happen year after year.
You know, I mean, just to explain to the audience there what it is, the FA Cup is basically an open cup tournament where as long as you're registered with the Football Association in England, you can enter it. So there are over 700 teams entering this tournament, 700. Now there's pre-qualifying games, qualifying games that the big clubs don't enter into the third round. But you get these occasions where you see these smaller clubs upsetting big clubs. Now, in the case of Chelsea and Man City and Bradford and Middlesbrough, they're pretty good teams, Bradford and Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough's
yeah,
been really well in the League Championship. So now that's not, I mean, yes, it's a huge shock. Of course it is. But they are, you know, a very good team that could well be in the Premier League next season. But I think it comes down to this team's take it for granted that they can win these games. And they try and sleepwalk through these matches. And when you're doing that against 11 guys who have nothing to lose and give 100% effort, you know, you can get these odd results now and again. And you don't get huge fairytale runs very often, but now and again you do. And that's what I said. It just justifies to me that this is the greatest tournament, knockout tournament in sport.
What kind of a priority do the big clubs make these cups? Because we know the main goal is to win the league, and then if you're one of those teams battling for a top four spot, it's to get into one of those top four spots and get into the Champions League. But where does this rank as far as priorities for these clubs?
Well, when I were a boy, Ben,
yes,
many years ago, it was huge.
Yeah.
That Wembley date in May was like the Super Bowl. It was a huge, huge deal. But then the Champions League was born. all the money went towards that, and the big clubs began taking less of a priority in this tournament. And, you know, probably 10 years ago now, we saw a lot of the big clubs really fielding B teams. Back in 2000, Manchester United pulled out of the tournament. They were playing in the Club World Cup as well that year. So Sir Alex Ferguson said, you know what, I can't play in all these tournaments, so I'm going to ditch the FA Cup, which was a big slap in the face of the FA and this great history for this tournament. In recent years, it's kind of bounced back somewhat. It isn't what it used to be. It just isn't for the big clubs. But it still has some prestige, a fair amount of prestige. And it has grown again, I think, in recent years, as mentioned there. So it's still a big deal. It's a big tournament. But it's just nothing quite like the Premier League and nothing like the Champions League. They are, you know, by a million miles more important.
Do they play too many games, James? I mean, is there a way to stop that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's way too many games. And, you know, the FA Cup should stay as it is. That works. The Premier League works. The European Cups work. They have the League Cup in England, too, which is a different tournament. And that is, to me, it's insanity in this day and age. You don't need that tournament. Now,
but Spurs are still in it.
And so is Liverpool. So maybe I should be changing my tune here. I love that tournament. It's great. But no, listen, it's too much for these guys. You don't need that tournament. So, you know, there's got to be some kind of, some point, some understanding between the clubs, the associations, the players' union, that, you know, so many players are getting hurt now. We're seeing World Cups come around with top players missing it because they're broken down, they're injured. So, unfortunately, it's money, right? You look at Man City, for example, last week, this team's playing in the Champions League, playing in the FA Cup, the League Cup, the Premier League. They had a week off, so they fly out to the Middle East and play Hamburg in a friendly for money. money, right? So it's just insanity. You know, Frank Lampard got hurt in that game, actually. There's no need for it other than to make money. So, you know, on one hand, the players complain about too many games, and so do the managers, but the owners say, wait a minute, we can get an extra $3 or $4 million playing a friendly for no reason, you know, in the middle of January. So, sadly, I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Frank, I was going to ask you something else, but now you've mentioned Frank Lampard. That's something that's intrigued me, the way things have played out for him. Of course, he goes and signs with New York City FC, but it's owned by Manchester City, and he does a pretty good job with them. And he's not going to Major League Soccer. And there's a couple of different layers to this. One is that, I mean, he's a lifelong Chelsea guy. I believe their all-time leading scorer, right?
Almost anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and he's playing for one of their rivals in Manchester City. And now he did it basically as a way to get to Major League Soccer and be the face of this New York City Major League Soccer franchise. But he's played too well, and now he's going to have to play for this for Manchester City, which I imagine he doesn't really want to do, James.
Yeah, it's a really – the MLS looks so bad in this whole scenario.
Right.
There's no transparency. They came out a few months ago, had the big press conference. Frank Lampard signs with New York City FC, and then he joins Man City. What we thought was a loan deal, turns out it wasn't a loan deal. He was signed by the umbrella company that owns Man City and New York. All right, this is where sports is nowadays, Ben, right?
Yeah.
There's this umbrella corporation. So he's never actually signed with New York City FC. Now, he's still going to go there probably in July, but he found out that he's still got a bit of gas in the tank. He's playing really well, and Man City need him. As simple as that, as a depth player, he's scored lots of important goals so far this season. So he's staying there and will miss the start of the MLS season, despite this, you know, huge, it wasn't a bloody big deal, but it wasn't far off when they announced him, a few months ago. So, you know, it makes MLS look really bad. It makes the player look really bad. It makes MLS look irrelevant in many regards. And overall, a big embarrassment for everyone concerned.
I think that's a pretty fair statement. Talking to James Sharman of Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. We'll get to Toronto FC and the Atomic Ant in just a second. But one last thing on the Premier League. We've seen the ruble go in the toilet recently, and the KHL is like in big time trouble. And you look at almost every Premier League team is owned by foreign interests. A lot of that is, you know, Middle Eastern oil money, but Chelsea, it is Russian money. Roman Abramovich has a bunch of it, but a whole lot less than he thought. Is that a problem?
I think maybe if it was 10 years ago,
yeah,
it could have been, but Chelsea is now pretty sustainable. You know, they've redeveloped that whole area around Stamford Bridge. They've redeveloped the stadium. They're making money. And if you look at their track record in recent years, they haven't been that club to go out and spend obscene amounts of money. Yeah, they spend lots of money, but nothing like Man City or some other clubs, you know, good mansions. So I think the timing is not bad for them. You know, they've got their business model, and they brought their way to success a few years ago now. And now they're, you know, a real legitimate contender on most fronts, and they can actually make that money themselves. So I think they're okay. But honestly, Ben, you know me well enough to ask me about high finance. So I'm like, as you will.
That's true. That's true. You never even pick up the tab when we go to the bar. So, yeah, I shouldn't be asking you about that. Come
exactly.
on. You're a cheapskate. All right. So, the Atomic Ant, Sebastian Giovinco. How good is this guy?
He's good. He's really good. He is going to be fun to watch. Listen, he's 27 years old. He'll be 28 when he comes here. He could have signed with any number of big-time European clubs. Fiorentina really wanted him. Monaco wanted him. But TFC basically offered to pay him twice the money. So, he's coming for the money. It's not, you know, try and paint around that. If he says, I'm here for my footballing ambitions or the projects, then he's lying because he's not. He's here for the money. So I say enjoy him while you can. He might only be here for a year. Maybe he loves it here. Maybe he sees the paycheck and says, I'm not leaving and to stay for the duration of his contract. But maybe he'll be a one-year and out kind of guy when he realizes that football's not what it is back in Europe. But he is a fun to watch, great player with the ball at his feet. He can beat guys one-on-one, very quick, not necessarily fast, but very quick. Can create, can pass the ball, and can score goals and set pieces and open play. So he is something that we haven't seen, I don't think, in MLS, maybe ever before, you know, a guy in his prime with that skill set. So potentially this could be a huge, huge signing, but I think we may have discussed that before at some point, Ben.
Yes. He turns 28 tomorrow. It's his birthday tomorrow.
Tomorrow, is it? Yeah. Yeah, no, it's around time.
And you mentioned it. We did hear that about a couple of guys. One of them, Jermaine Defoe.
That's right.
The bloom fell off the rose rather quickly there, James. I mean, and you what you said was kind of frightening. You said he could be a one and done guy, which I guess is fine if you know. And Jermaine Defoe would have been fine if he was a one and done guy, but he like played the whole season and
yeah,
and
precisely.
Like actually cared about playing an entire season.
Yeah,
what's to say that this guy is going to be any different?
Yeah, you know, nothing. Really, I mean, it's a gamble, and TFC know that, but, you know, you can't blame TFC. It's a calculated gamble. The upside is huge, and because they signed him in a free contract, say just for example, after a year, he says, you know what, I won't make the same money back in Europe, but I really miss playing in Italian Serie A. I'm going to go back there. Then TFC can sell him because he's under contract. So they're signing him on a free transfer. He's a free agent to a 4 or 5 year contract. If they sell him, they get a big transfer fee for him. So for them, it's win-win. Even in a year from now, if he leaves, they're making a lot of money out of this deal. So for them, I think it's a great deal. And you can criticize this club all you want and for, you know, legitimate reasons over the years. But that deal for Giovinco is fantastic for the league and for that club. And I think it will be a big success.
And as it stands right now, he will leave at the end of the Serie A season in July. But there is talk of him getting out of that deal before the season's mm-hmm. done. Do you think that's going to happen?
You know what? For that to happen, basically he's got to buy himself out of his contract, I believe. And Juventus right now aren't making big noise in the transfer window, which closes next week. They need depth players. They're in the Champions League. They're in the Coppa Italia, in the Serie A. I can't see him leaving. If it's possible, TFC should definitely look at that because they start the season 7 weeks, 7 matches on the road. It's a nightmare start to the season. They need all the troops. So if they can get him to start the season, they should investigate that, but from a Juventus' standpoint, his club, I don't know why they let him leave early.
And we talk about Giovinco, and we talk about Frank Lampard. Is this the best way for Major League Soccer to build its brand with these big names, who are big names, but sometimes they don't pan out, sometimes they go back, sometimes they realize the quality of competition isn't what they thought it would be. They realize that, you know, if in the case of Jermaine Defoe, Toronto FC is not the number one sports team in this city. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess there's not a whole lot of ways around it, but I feel like it's embarrassing, and it's almost like on a frequent basis that you get these stories out of Major League Soccer. Is it the best thing for that league?
You know, it's about timing, and I think the timing's right for it. There's a school of thought out there by a lot of purists and people who love North American soccer, and they say it's terrible. It's the worst thing. You know, we shouldn't be doing this. We should be building from the ground up and developing our talent and slowly growing the sport. I say to hell with that. I want to see superstars. in this league,
yeah,
to grow it, to get new fans into the seats, into the stadiums. Now, let's not go crazy. Let's not do what the old NASL did and, you know, stack teams with lots of superstars and you can't afford them. Give them three designated player berths, or potentially four, which is being discussed right now. You know, let the clubs determine who those players are and get some exposure, get some press written about them. You know, open the door. So what if you get a burnt-out 33-year-old who's still got maybe one OK year left, but he'll sell some tickets and some shirts? I think that's important. At the same time, don't forget about development. Allow these guys to you know, perhaps mentor some younger players in those teams. Let them develop under these players as well. I'm all for it myself. It's great. We are what we are. You know, we're not going to be a top league anytime soon, despite what the commissioner, Don Garber, might say.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, I think North America's playing on this current season, you know, through the summer, you're not going to be able to compete with the European leagues. And that's okay. They can still be sustainable and successful. It's a slow growth. MLS has been really pragmatic over the years and grown slowly. Now is the time to just kind of give it a bit of a shot, a bit of a push with some big name players. So I say bring it on. I want to see Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
I want to see Steven Gerrard, Giovinco, and these guys over here.
Yeah, well, who knows when you'll get to see Frank Lampard.
ever, right? Yeah, fair
yeah.
enough.
I get your point. Before I let you go, James, we know Major League Soccer, it's unlike every other league in that the league as a whole has ownership stake in all the franchises. How much does the league care about what's gone on with Toronto FC, and how much of an embarrassment compared to like every sporting franchise on planet Earth this team has been in its history? I'm sure they helped facilitate the Jermaine Defoe thing. I wonder if they were on the ground floor with the Atomic Ant as well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're involved. I mean, out the door, for sure they were, right? When he yeah. arrived, they were 100% behind that. I'm sure they're embarrassed to a certain point, but until the fans stop arriving at the games, they won't really care. And I think the fans will come back. There's been, you know, occasions where the fans haven't been quite there in numbers as they were in previous years, but they have arrived. I think the minute they start, you know, staying at home in numbers, then the league will really take notice. But, you know, I think MLS have a lot to answer for here as well. You look at the history of TFC, a lot of those decisions behind the scenes have been MLS enforced. They brought Mo Johnson in, for example. They brought in Jurgen Klinsmann, for example, who brought in Aaron Winter, absolute disaster, preppy.
Yep.
Some of these suggestions by MLS head office haven't paid off, right? Now, right now, Tim Bezpachenko came from MLS head offices, right? He's an MLS guy.
Right.
As it stands right now, we can't judge him. It's too early. But, you know, this better work out, because they've been sticking their oar in this club from day one, and it hasn't worked out. So I'm sure that they're okay with it right now, but, you know, another failed era at TFC, and they should be, I think, held accountable.
You just have to make the stupid playoffs. It's not difficult. Like, teams go, like, it's unbelievable. They can't even make the playoffs.
This year, with the new format, over half the teams qualify for the playoffs. So my word, if they can't do it this year, but as I mentioned, right, seven games on the road to start the season, ouch.
You know?
And Giovinco not here till July, potentially. You hate to say it, right? And I hope I'm wrong, but there's every chance this team could be in a massive hole by the time their star player arrives. So, man, it's going to be a fascinating season at TFC land once again.